Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 170 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. The biggest talk in entertainment this week is Steve's spoiler-free Shang-Chi review, and then we'll give an update on Venom, Let There Be Carnage, some interesting Rick and Morty, and then move over into tech news, where we'll discuss some carbon air recapture, crypto news, AI, and a little bit of space talk. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and we're here with episode 170. I'm a little under the weather, non-COVID weather, but still.
You can't say that nowadays.
I know. Like, I walk around with a cold, and I got my negative COVID test and everything else. And yeah, I just walk around with a cold, and every like little sniffle and like slight cough I give, I got to kind of be like, I'm negative. Don't worry. As everybody kind of turns their head my way. So, yeah, it's a... I think, man, I never wanted to like just say like this is the new normal, but like how long do we go before I have to just succumb to that phrase and just be like, yeah, this is normal. This is it.
Yeah, man, please don't. Please don't.
We're almost 2 years into this shit, right?
Like, I know. I'm so past this. I'm still waiting for my press pass for C2E2, wondering what that fucking thing is going to be like. Because we're only entering flu season. Like everybody's talking about this stuff. Like we're in the heart of people getting sick. Like, nah, it's summer. Like, people don't get sick in the summer. Like, just wait. Just fucking wait. Again, it's going to be horrid.
Yeah, well, either way, the world has moved on to some degree, and we got a new movie, an exclusive experiment sent to the theater.
I took my happy ass to a movie theater for a super spreader event so I could see the new Marvel movie.
And, you know, Shang-Chi, let's hear your spoiler-free review since you haven't written one yet.
Again, I apologize to anybody that likes to read these things because I do enjoy writing them. My thoughts come out more together and I usually have a couple good zingers in there, you know, a couple good one-liners because I get to sit down and think about it before I give it. I moved into a big house and I'm surrounded by boxes still, guys. I can't do it, man. I'm sorry. But did get to go to the movie and man, I have to say it was one of the best origin stories that Marvel's done. Like it was, I know it's so like cliche to say and stereotypical, but it really was like the Asian Black Panther. Like it was so good, so well done with, you know, a strictly Asian cast. And man, like I loved the movie. I loved everything about it.
I think you posted that in the Nerd Cantina group that it was the Asian Black Panther. I could immediately feel a lot of like, fuck you, Steve. I could immediately just feel even from people who haven't seen the movie yet, like, don't invoke that name. Don't you dare.
But like, but it was like, it was just so well done. You know, like I always said to do like, you know, when my gripe with Captain Marvel always was, is that it was supposed to be like the female movie, you know, the female Black Panther, if you will. And it didn't feel like it was inviting. It really felt like it was like a movie that was just trying to shove a bunch of shit down your throat, you know? And I've always used the analogy of like for Black Panther to me felt like a birthday party. You know what I mean? Like the party ain't for you, but you still get to go and have fun and enjoy yourself and everybody wants you there. You know what I mean? So like, to me, that was like how Black Panther felt. That's exactly how Shang-Chi felt. Like it was a very Asian movie. They took a lot of kung fu. It had some great rope scenes that felt very Crouching Tiger, very hero-esque. I'm not the biggest kung fu movie fan, so those are the ones I know and those are the ones I love. So that's what you got. That's what you get. You know, but it did really. It was really well done. It celebrated Asian films. It celebrated Asian culture. And it told a great story that intertwined with the MCU. They cleaned up some other MCU junk that people weren't happy with. I can't say enough good things about this movie. I really enjoyed myself. I had a great time.
I mean, it's good to hear. I was unable to make it out there this last weekend. I'm going to try to get out there this week if I can get caught up on life. But yeah, it's, to me, absolutely, you know, I haven't heard any negative real reviews coming out. And I normally stay away from them, so that's kind of a biased or a small sample size.
Well, because it's a strictly Asian movie, you don't know if people are, like, too afraid to rip on the movie, you know, like you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, as a white male reviewer, you really got to walk on eggshells critiquing these fucking movies, right? Like, yeah. So, but there is nothing to say about it. Like, I loved all the actors. I'm staring at the IMDb list right now of the list of actors. And for the sake of respecting their names, I am not even going to try to attempt any of these. But they were all really great in the movie. Like, I just, you know, some of them have a long history of filmography in China, and to do it now in the MCU and bring that to the screen in the United States. I mean, it was a great movie. Everybody should go see it. You really should. It was a movie for everybody that anybody could enjoy.
So where do you put it ranking in origin story?
See, that one's really hard.
That's why I asked the question.
Like, man, I'll always love. So Iron Man started the MCU. Without Iron Man, you don't even have the MCU. So you always got to put that one high. I always loved Captain America's. Thor's was meh, you know, Black Widow's meh. Like, I would have to go, fuck, man. All right, y'all gonna fight me, but it's gonna go Iron Man, Shang-Chi, Black Panther.
Oh, really? Okay. You're going
coming
going
fresh
over.
Off this movie, and I've seen Black Panther a few times. I do like Black Panther, but like, man, I don't know if it's because I'm an anime fan and I like Asian culture more. Like, I might be, this might be my bias showing, like, but... But yeah, like, I loved it. Had dragons, man, come out. Like,
like, no spoilers.
I love this movie. Like, yeah, it was really good. Had a good comedy feel to it, but not too much. Choreography was great. Yeah, man, I'm sticking with it. That's fine. Fight me. Sean, you got your Fight Me Friday. Fuck this. Like, go ahead. post that shit.
Spoiler free.
Stand by it.
Because I haven't seen it yet. We haven't hit the 2 week mark. Spoiler free. But well, I mean, that's all good, and it's, I guess, a good sign for the movie industry as a whole. We can move on to the next story, and that's, you know, hey, we got another date change for Venom. It's like number 7, and this time it's Venom: Let There Be Carnage moving up by 2 weeks, not going backwards. They looked at Shang-Chi making $90 million in 4 days, 75 and a half in a traditional 3 day weekend. And the Venom team looked at it and said, good enough. Like, if there's $75.5 million worth of box office money out there right now, we want it. Because who the hell knows what's going to happen 4 weeks from now? We're moving up,
I mean,
to 2 weeks
from now.
At this
point, though, it's like, just send me a text when it actually releases. I don't even care. And, like, I'm tired of hearing this. Like, there's just some dude in a boardroom wired off, you know, fucking coffee and Red Bull, just going, delay it, extend it, move it up. And we said this before when they moved it back. I said, I don't know why they're moving it back deeper into flu season, as if that's going to help their case any. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But Shang-Chi got that paper, and they're hoping Venom will, you know, do as well. Like, it should, you know, because opening weekend, if it doesn't release on streaming, you don't know if it's a turd nugget or not, so you go out, you know, and the reviews don't come out as fast, and you got to find out for yourself. It's got Carnage. Everybody, Carnage is a fan favorite, so I think, yeah, they should have moved it up and move it up even further. Like, man,
no, I think they don't want
September 17th, boom, do it.
I don't think they want to compete at all with Shang-Chi there, so they're going to move it back far enough to where there's still not a little residual Marvel love going on, that hopefully everybody's done with Marvel by then. And there is,
I'm a firm believer, if you haven't seen a movie in a theater in 3 weeks, then you're not going. If you haven't gone by the third week to the theater to see it, you're just not going. Like, don't kid yourself.
Yeah, but this is this would be 3 weeks later, and like I said, and there is absolutely nothing worth even mentioning coming out on October 1st. So
no.
I'm sure that's on their calculus there, is the fact that they're competing with nobody on October 1st. And it gives them enough standoff distance, maybe get a couple weekends before you deal with Dune.
Hey, man, I'm waiting for the alert to buy tickets to that. I'm gone.
So in the end, you know, hey, at least we get some good news coming out of the world of entertainment. We get a strong showing from a strong movie. And then we get a...
Strong is yet to be seen.
I said strong showing from Shang-Chi. Strong showing from strong movie, which resulted in the moving up of a potentially questionable movie, because I didn't care for the first one very much.
I didn't care for the first one either.
But at least it's a good sign, I think, overall, a little bit of faith in the capability of the theaters. But let's keep it in a little more entertainment. And the last real kind of quick topic here is a Rick and Morty live action clip featuring Christopher Lloyd as Rick emerged as a little promo, and there was a little talk of even like a Pickle Rick, Christopher Lloyd, and everything else on the internet. And I would love to, like, I have not kept up with watching all of Rick and Morty, and I don't know why. I do love it every time I watch it, and then I just don't come across it.
Season just ended, so you could binge it. Yeah, you could binge it now.
And I would 100% be all on board to see Christopher Lloyd. I don't know if there's a better
my disappointment though, when I watched it, I was disappointed that it was actually Christopher Lloyd's voice and whoever that other actor is his voice. Like, I was hoping they would like overdub.
Just dub over it? Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think I can handle that. Like, I couldn't watch an episode of that,
good.
Though.
Not if you did it good.
You better pull out all the deepfakes then. You better go full on deepfake.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we got the technology is there.
For sure. You like, if do Christopher it really Lloyd's easily. Willing to let them just deepfake his lips into letting the actual voice actor do it.
Well, no, Christopher Lloyd could say the script, and then the voice actor just can just overdub it. Like, they've done this for decades now. This is not a new the new thing, way to film stuff. Like, they could do it. But it didn't seem right without Rick's voice. Like, it was off to me. And it just seemed like almost bad improv cosplay.
Well, I would watch it with or without the actual voice actor's voice. I like you, Christopher Lloyd. I'll listen to you pretend to be Rick. That's fine.
No, because all I hear is Doc Brown. Like, because he's already like there's not much different in the outfit, right? You throw him in a white lab coat, he's fucking Doc Brown. He ain't Rick. Like,
you're not wrong.
Like, I don't care how you put him in the garage with Morty and everything. You put that motherfucker in a white lab coat, he's talking gigawatts, motherfucker. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but stand by my opinion here. I'm back on board for some Rick and Morty with Christopher Lloyd acting it out. But let's go ahead and transition out of entertainment into some technology news. And in technology, the first story is kind of a new thing. I don't know if we've talked about this technology at any point in time. I found it interesting this week. We found it interesting, and that's the fact that they're really moving forward with some carbon air recapture technology, as it actually becoming kind of reality, and in a way that I guess I just would have never like intuitively thought about. It's a good time, as you know, my state of California is burning to the damn ground everywhere across the state, and all the state parks and everything's closed, and you know they can never keep up with the fires, and this is the worst wildfire season, with the largest wildfire right now in history.
Well, now here we got tornadoes getting closer and closer to local places every time. Like, these things are getting crazy.
Yeah.
Like, tornado literally ripped past my buddy's house, like three houses down.
Yeah. And then you just had the tornadoes from Hurricane Ida hit New York and New Jersey. And like the scenes from like the subways flooding and stuff looked straight out of like movie studios, and practical effects coming out of movie studios with water rushing down the stairs and pouring out of subway, openings in cars. So, things are wild in the realm of climate change. That's not a political statement. That's just a fact. If you're not on that fact train, go somewhere else. It's fine. In the end, we got to talk about the carbon recapture being a mechanism towards reducing carbon footprint. Like, you can't control all these other asshole countries who just keep saying, keep ramping up the technology, you know, while, you know, Europe and US are talking about how to reduce our carbon footprint, but it's minuscule compared to all these other countries that are increasing their carbon footprint. Well, how do you actually combat that? I guess you just steal their carbon out of the air. And in this facility being tested by Iceland, it's a significant operation that can recapture, I don't even remember the size. It's 4,000 cubic tons, I think, a day is what it's able to recapture. And then the interesting thing, the thing that I would never think of is that, what do you do with the carbon? Do you like filter it or whatever else? Nope. In this sense, they're just spitting that carbon underground into wells underground. And then the carbon over time will just mineralize and disappear. Or it's just going to cause a new catastrophe that we haven't figured out when you dump
fucking problem.
Hundreds of thousands of carbon underground. Who knows?
Well, I mean, don't diamonds come from carbon? Are we just like planting like the future diamonds in like 1,000 years?
I don't know. Maybe this is like Iceland's long con on becoming like the richest country in the world. Like, just sitting on
y'all just throwing diamonds into days. The atmosphere.
In about 1,000 years, they're gonna have so many diamonds they won't know what to do with them. But
I've seen this technology. This isn't like new, but they're like having a plant of this scale is like a big advancement in this kind of technology. There's a few companies that are trying to do this carbon capture, and I kind of always thought like this was a solution to the problem. Ever since, like, you ever have those fridge water filters and you get like that black gunk at the bottom? And I've always asked like what it is, and they're like, oh, it's the carbon. It's like from their filter, like it filters out the, you know, well, like, okay, do it with air. Like do that shiz with air. Like,
I've been on that kick for as long as we've been talking about climate change. I've been talking about like we can't, like, all these problems where we talk about how to fix it, and it's all about changing human behavior and reducing use and all that stuff. And I always say, fuck changing humans. Like, we are broken, and we're not getting any better. Like, it's not going to get any better. Like, we need to engineer our way.
Savages.
We need to scientifically engineer our way to correct our fuck ups, because it, like, you know, we got a lot of people who can't quit smoking. We've got a lot of people who can't eat a healthier diet. Like, human behaviors, it doesn't matter what we know is right. We're not changing shit. And then when you factor in, you know, global economy and how much money is to still to be made in not being clean and not caring for the environment in the short term, for the, like, man, you're just not fixing it through human behavior.
It's definitely the route we need to go. You know, we got electric cars. We're going to stop trying to put as much carbon into the, you know, but even getting people to switch over to that is like pulling teeth. You know what I mean? Like,
no, because they're faster and they're cooler looking, and they have an Elon Musk who's doing dumb stuff on stage or whatever else, that people didn't do it because it was cool. Like, the Nissan Leaf had been out for a while. Nobody was buying those damn things. Like, you know what I mean?
The Prius couldn't get enough people like a Maserati to buy everyone.
Yeah.
But I mean, so you can't change the human behavior aspect of it. Humans do not want to change. They will fight you just to fight you. Like, it's not even like I don't want to do it. Why? I don't know, but you're telling me to, so fuck no. I don't, like, if this virus has taught us anything, is that like to getting the masses to do one thing is horrible. So it makes me wonder though, where we'd be at if we would dump all kinds of money into this kinds of technology for advancement. Like, how is Iceland the one doing this kind of shit? Like, how is there not a big NASA initiative where we throw $10 billion at carbon capture for our country? You know, get a couple of things going up in the desert, some in the Midwest, you know, where there's nice open air, just sucking all the carbon out. Like, we throw piles of money at all kinds of shit. But nope, we're going to leave this one up to Iceland.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, people see the success. That's one of the beauties of this happening. If they can actually quantify how much they're recapturing, that they're able to safely bury it deep into the earth, and have no negative, you know, effects and everything else, then that will inspire others to do.
Damn it, Iceland, this is how you get mole people. Don't you know this is how you get mole people? What are you doing, Iceland?
Either way, I'm excited to at least see an engineering attempt at
the picture with the article of the facility. It just looks like a bunch of air conditioning units. Like, it just looks like the air conditioning system to a large stadium in Texas.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody's gonna shit all over this plan, and they're going to talk about how like the energy consumption that it's creating is creating just as much carbon as it's recapturing or whatever else. I'm sure somebody's going to ruin this for us, but
these fans use as much energy as like 5 Bitcoin miners.
That joke's a good segue into transitioning to the next topic, which is a little bit of crypto news. We got a couple things to talk about with crypto, and first one is the exchange, the BitConnect exchange is been found out. The SEC has found that they scammed investors out of about $2 billion worth of fake crypto trading bot. So they had a crypto trading bot that you could trade through. And apparently that crypto bot was just siphoning off the money getting put into this account to be traded at the hands of this bot and getting siphoned off into the various investors' funds and you know, employee funds or whatever else, and just to the tune of $2 billion just disappearing. And
why do I feel like this is like the movie, like the crypto version of the movie Office Space?
they're just doing pennies, or they're just doing gas fees. They're just increasing gas fees slightly and sending the gas fees into their account.
Some random crypto bro decided to make a fucking worm, forgot the decimal place. Next thing you know, he's got $2 billion in crypto funneled from fucking BitConnect.
That's a solid reference there. I could see that being a thing.
If some dude tomorrow is really rich with a red stapler, I'm calling bullshit.
But yeah, ultimately, you know, this is another complaint in the crypto world that just sets the likelihood that it becomes mass adopted and understood by all. Back another step. Just one more
Elizabeth
little
step. Q Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So yeah, set us all back one more little step. That's all right. In the end, this is why, to some degree, we need this. We need crypto industry slightly regulated. To make it more legitimate, to actually have some kind of recourse in these things. I don't think there's much anybody can do.
Considering these companies are global, and you know, not all of them, you know, it's like how does the U.S. pass a law for crypto when you know some of these are foreign coins? You know, like not all these coins are minted in service in the United States. So like you'd like to see. Like some of these coins that have proof of stake and are some of the major players try to create their own like entity where they, you know, set certain guidelines for themselves and at least show the rest of the world that they're like, no, we recognize we have issues. Here's what, you know, we collectively as the crypto. I wish I could think of a like really funny acronym on the fly right now, but I would just butcher this. Like I should have thought of this before the show, but just give it some kind of acronym where all the crypto bros get in a room and are just like, all right, they bitch about energy. What are we going to do about energy? Oh, we're going to do this. All right, put that in a press release. All right, security. Everyone's afraid that they're going to lose their coins. What are we doing about this? Oh, well, we got these things. Like, all right, put that in a press release. Like,
yeah, I think, I don't know, the crypto industry is going to have a hard time having a unified approach. The government's ultimately going to find a way to regulate it, to protect consumers in order for these exchanges to operate and be able to have their apps and stuff like that here in the United States. So even who cares where the coins come from, government's still going to find their way to put some kind of restrictions on trading and stuff like that unless they meet certain criteria. And then they're going to cave and they're going to meet the U.S. government's criteria because if you're not getting U.S. money, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So yeah. It's going to happen.
We're like coming up to the point where like, yeah, something's going to happen, but you don't want it to be you don't want it to choke the industry, right? Like you want it to, in a perfect world, the government would just sit down with everybody and they'd have like a month long, you know, meeting with like the head of the SEC and all the major players in crypto and talk about what they need, what, you know, what the government needs. But that's not how it's going to go. You're going to get fucking 10 douchebags up on a podium grilling crypto dudes about shit they know nothing about. Like there's going to be some dude with a fucking, you know, a board and a goddamn laser pointer talking about blockchain for half an hour to dudes that fucking invented it, you know, and then you're gonna have some fucking old guy that, you know, is going to ask how to explain what an NFT is for 45 fucking minutes. And we're going to get nowhere. They're just going to leave the room and nothing's going to happen. Like that's just how, you know, it's going to go down. It's going to be depressing.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty standard in the tech industry and what's happening, you know, eventually 30, 40 years
time,
from now.
And in that time, like 50 new shit coins are going to be made and it's just going to prove their goddamn point.
30 to 40 years from now, we'll get crypto believers in office and then there'll be completely something different. But that's about the time horizon for governance to catch up. So,
well, we have one government that's fully on board.
We do. And, you know, that's the next story here is today, El Salvador became the first country to adopt Bitcoin as its official, a legal tender within the country. You know, my understanding of the whole situation is not the only currency within the country, that it didn't replace their, you know, their dollar. But it became a legal tender where all merchants, shops, everybody, they have to accept and transact within Bitcoin. The government also, like, encouraged people to sign up for the crypto wallet for the El Salvadorian crypto wallet that they are promoting. And I think if you signed up for it, you got like $33 of Bitcoin put into your crypto wallet to start your wallet account. In the end, they're moving towards it. I'm unsure. I don't know enough about what the hell goes on with these things. I'm unsure why that hitting today caused a ripple effect of the entire market down 10 to 20% down today.
Tank the fucking market. It's like all these young ass crypto dudes heard that dad got his first Facebook account and was like, ah, everybody go. Like, let's go. We're moving to Instagram. Like, they're on to something else now. Yeah. Now that the, like, or either that or what's it say about El Salvador? That, like, maybe it might not have anything to do with that. I think it might have to do with the fact that El Salvador has an inflation problem and now they're jumping on the crypto train. And yeah, I don't think a lot of people have any faith that this is gonna be a good thing for crypto overall. When
yeah, it was a weird ripple effect that happened today, but I mean, ultimately I think it'll all buff out, it'll all balance out. The El Salvadorians who signed up for a crypto wallet today, maybe they just got their Bitcoin, their $30 in Bitcoin at a 10% discount. Who knows? Maybe it's just going to go right back where it was after people.
That's what happened. El Salvador had this big rush to get their $33 in Bitcoin and it tanks 20%. And then there's like, I only have $22 now. Like, this is, I don't like this.
But in the end, it's just good to see it getting kind of legitimized and adopted. I never looked into it. We talked about it as a joke before, and then I was concerned about it. I wasn't concerned enough to actually research whether now, as of today, it being El Salvadorians, a legal tender in a foreign country, if you're invested in Bitcoin, does that mean you're invested in foreign currency? Because that comes with really weird tax implications and stuff like that. Like, it changes the game. It changes the game for sure.
For sure.
I'm hoping... hoping somebody's CPA is on top of that, but it's a weird thought process that I thought of before, and now it's back, and I'm still going to do no research. Somebody smarter than me, go ahead and chime over at the nerdcantina.com/community and let us know.
So the eight people listening right now, call your tax man. Yes. As you can see, he's got some paperwork to file.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting where this all goes, because they're not going to be the last to adopt it. And, you know, like, there are better coins to actually, like, make your current official currency that are more efficient. And, you know, because like that's the thing is if this gets adopted by the country as a nation, the gas fees and the amount of time it takes to send this money, they're going to have to use bridge coins. And I don't know if El Salvador is ready to scale this up yet. I really don't think so.
Well, we'll find out. We'll pay attention to it. If something crazy and negative happens in the crypto space, we will talk about it. But let's move on from cryptocurrency. Let's talk about some really unique tech for these next two stories. This next one is an AMD patent that proposes teleportation to make quantum computing more efficient. That's the headline. That's about as far as I got into my understanding of what the hell is going on in this article. I'm not going to pretend that I am a quantum computing expert or even a mildly competent person in quantum computing. I'm not going to pretend to be that either.
Yeah, all I know is these quantum computers, they look like art. Like
they really do.
It's like it should just be in a glass case and like
little machines
in a hotel lobby. they're fucking gorgeous. You know, but what's it say about how hard quantum computing is if you have to invent teleportation to be able to do it?
It's molecular teleportation in order to actually have it function.
That's how hard quantum computing is. It's that you have to teleport shit to do it. Something that was like just 5-10 years ago was just like, what, teleport? You can't teleport nothing. Like, oh yeah, no, we could teleport matter and we're going to use it to power quantum computers so we can do these like quantum fucking math problems and shit. And it's like, we invented teleportation so we could have better computers. Like, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my pizza delivered here hot.
Yeah, I don't know what AMD is doing in quantum computing in the first place. I don't understand what overall benefit they have in working this angle and this teleportation. I don't get it, but they filed a patent. So if it's possible, they got a patent for it right now.
It says in the article that they're using quantum teleportation to increase the system's reliability while simultaneously reducing the number of qubits necessary for a given calculation. Still, have no clue what the fuck they're using this for. And I feel like I should know what a qubit is. Like it's like when Google first came out, I was like, do you know what the largest number in the world? It's a Google. Like it's a million zeros. Like, oh wow, that's a good like tidbit information. Like I know pi up to a certain amount of decimal places. I know how much how many pounds are in a kilo. I feel like I should know what a qubit is.
I don't want to fully embarrass myself, but I will just say that I'm pretty sure that the qubit or qubit is, instead of it just being a 1-0 pair logic pair like a regular bit in computer processing, it's a 4-digit logic pair. So it has multiple more applications, and one bit can be, 4 zeros, or it could be 1-1-0-0-0 or 1-1-0-0-0, right? It has so many more applications in a single bit because of adding those two additional digits. And that's where quantum computing comes from. If I'm wrong, I don't even want to hear about it. Don't even tell me in the Nerd Cantina.
I'm going to see Neil deGrasse Tyson in 2 weeks. I'm going to ask him. That might be my question now in the VIP room. Hey, homie. Why don't you drop some quibbit knowledge
on me? That's a waste of a question. Go on YouTube. You'll find the answer to that. You need to get him just spouting off on something completely random, not an actual factual
thing.
Why
learn anything on YouTube when I can learn it from Neil?
Because you're going to get one question, and you're going to waste it on something you could type into Google. That's stupid.
I'm shooting for two. It all depends on how the VIP thing goes. If the VIP thing goes after the show, if I can get the stage question, then he has to listen to me while he's taking my picture with me. Like that's the thing is he's stuck with me for at least a good 30 seconds. And I'm going to be debating on how I use that 30 seconds wisely.
That dude doesn't answer anything in 30 seconds. You can't, well, he can't even finish a laugh.
Then we can hang out.
Seconds.
Then we can hang out. Like right. I have, I've
from your Neil deGrasse Tyson dreams here. Let's get through this.
2 weeks.
These last two stories.
2 weeks. I'm with dude.
All right. So we've got another story here about just an odd headline that we grabbed here because it's interesting. Apparently, a U.S. judge has ruled that AI computers can't patent their own inventions. I don't even know how this ends up in front of a U.S. judge. How this is a thing that we're ruling on at this point.
According to the article, all right, there's a group with a AI researcher by the name of Stephen Tyler, who runs an AI system who is like pioneering, like he's fighting like this AI system's his child, right? Like he wants full recognition for his child. And it's crazy because he's taking this premise to all the court systems in all the major countries. In South Africa and Australia already decided that they ruled in the other direction. So the United States said, no, only natural persons, in quotations, natural persons, which is also up for interpretation as AI gets stronger and stronger, but only natural persons can be credited with as the inventor of a patent. So right now they're calling natural persons living organisms. To where as South Africa and Australia said, like, nah, computer makes it, it's his, which leads into all kinds of fucked up future implications. But the fact that there's just one dude going around the world being like, my little Dabus, that's the name of the computer, D-A-B-U-S, my little Dabus, he came up with a new flashing light and a new prototype for a food container. So this AI is making Tupperware and wants the full fucking credit for it. You know, like he fucking furthered burp technology to keep that shit too fresh. And he wants his full fucking patent. And like... Like, I don't know if this is like dude's long con to where he's like, well, if Dabus gets the patent and I am the inventor of Dabus, then I like, is it a, like, is Dabus considered like a minor and can't really be the beneficiary of anything?
What this dude has done is filed two patents and like a very mundane one, like the Tupperware example, that he wants to get like legal precedent set for the Tupperware. And then he's going to roll out tens of thousands of patents that this thing is like redesigned and made like minor improvements to a bunch of commercial products.
Oh yeah,
but it's enough of an improvement to rate a patent.
Like, what do you need? Like 14% difference or something like that.
There's he's turned
the dial to 15 and was like 100%. anything that's 15% different, you spit it out.
Zero doubt in my mind that that's what this dude's got. Is he's trying to set precedents. And then he knows that when he unleashes this thing to just search the entire public patent database and then to make minor tweaks, enough tweaks to engineer something efficient.
Oh yeah.
Then all of a sudden he's sitting on thousands of patents. Genius. Like, I'm not mad at this guy one bit.
I mean, yeah, like he's doing what every parent of a child actor has ever done for their entire career.
Oh.
Just send that little shorty out working
just
in step three profit.
Just exploit that robot like an Olsen twin. Fuck them.
Oh man. You know that's how it's going down. You know that's how it's going down. Dude is like the dance mom of AI. Hey, more it's evil genius type shit.
Yeah.
I get it, bro. Like, I hope you don't win, but I feel you.
I'm not mad one bit.
You can't get mad when you know, the banker in Monopoly tries to sneak an extra hundo out the bank for himself. Like, you really, if we ain't watching them, it's partly our fault too, right? This dude's on some dastardly scheme shit, and I feel him. But we're on to you, man. Steven with a V, you savage.
All right. Well, let's jump into our final topic, final story, which is one quick little space news. And that's to update real quick that apparently the spaceship that Sir Richard Branson flew on to be the first billionaire in space, not an astronaut, but to go in space and go into orbit, apparently... His spaceship flew a bit off course from what was the approved FAA flight path, and they have been grounded for the foreseeable future until the FAA continues its investigation into the aircraft and into the flight crew to determine why they went off off the approved flight path.
So I have limited astro knowledge, right? I only know what I know. And the article said that an alert went off that had an entry glide cone warning. Now, if you've watched any space movie from like 1983 to 1994, you know that nothing can go wrong on entry. Like that is like the premise of every fucking space movie in the 80s is when you coming back to Earth, you either hit that perfect angle or you burning up, you dead. So like I've seen the interviews after they landed. I don't think I would be like I would be a nervous goddamn wreck shaking. Like there's no way I could have done those interviews knowing that some light went off in the middle of fucking reentry that said entry glide cone warning. And the pilots had to either kill the rocket motor or take immediate action to adjust their trajectory problem. Like that's one of those problems where I get back to Earth and I'm just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave. I should have stayed. I'm so sorry.
The article in the crew says that they were in no way ever in danger. I don't know.
Yeah, because they got shareholders, motherfucker. Like this is a publicly traded company. You come off that rocket with the tightest asshole you ever seen in your entire life talking about, oh, it's all good. it's all good. We handle it. Only the scariest light on the goddamn dashboard went off when we could just burn the fuck up trying to get back on Earth or just skip off the atmosphere and fly into the fucking moon for all we know. That it's all good.
Well, either way, I don't think Richard Branson cares. Like he doesn't care. Ground this fucking plane for the next 2 years. He doesn't give a shit. He already got his space time. Like at this point in time.
Oh, and you know damn well if like his whole attitude for sure was like, well, if I'm going to go out, this is how I'm going out. You know,
yeah, fucking ignore that light.
Fucking extravagant billionaire Richard Branson dies trying to enter Earth from first orbit. Like that's the headline he wanted. Like if he's gonna go out, sure. That's the headline he wanted. You think he wants to go out like with a heart attack on some hooker? Like no, that's not how he wants to go.
Yeah, for sure he was perfectly fine if that was the outcome, but it didn't happen. You know, they landed safely. Their FAA is going to clear them. They're going to get back in the air, I'm sure, soon. This is going to be a non-issue. It didn't put it on the outline, but you know the Crew Dragon also demonstrated this week some massive glass bubble for them to get better views when they're flying on their spaceship. So Elon's getting in the game of increasing. Yeah, why not? Why not? Just give them a big old glass bubble to stick their heads up out, a little sunroof. Why not?
So, because I'm staring at the article, like I have to actually read this because, so in quotes, I once sat in a meeting in 2015 during which the pilots of the July 11th mission and others discussed procedures for responding to an entry glide cone warning, Schmiedel wrote in his story. Published Wednesday, CJ Stuckrow, a former Marine and NASA astronaut, said that a yellow light should scare the shit out of you because when it turns red, it's going to be too late. That's from an astronaut. That's from an astronaut. Like, for sure. Like, you know, like, he came off, he was happy, and he was, like, all super pumped for fucking, like, space travel. Nah, that dude was happy that light didn't turn red. That dude was happy that he paid people a lot of money to know what the fuck they're doing, and he got off that goddamn plane. Like, that's what that motherfucker was happy about.
Well, I think that's the weekend news. I think that's all we got. So, let's just move on to saying, hey, join us, nerdcantina.com/community. Say hello, share some memes, participate in some jokes, and then join us in the Fight Me Friday, where apparently we're going to see if people who have seen Shang-Chi think it's better than Black Panther or not, or where they rank it in their top origin stories.
Yeah, I thought about it long and hard. Like, I'm going to have to go for sure. Iron Man, Shang-Chi, Black Panther, Ant-Man, No, fuck. Black Panther, Captain America, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange. That's my five.
So, no Captain Marvel?
Posting it. No. 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 I put Captain Marvel below Dark World.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst.
It is the worst.
So yeah, Jonas, let's see what you think over there. Let's see if we actually put that up on as a poll or a question for Fight Me Friday. And until next time, talk to you later, nerds.
See ya.